The Golden State Warriors have kicked off the Western Conference Finals with a 2-0 series lead after Golden State defeated a Kawhi Leonard-less San Antonio Spurs team Tuesday evening in Oracle Arena, 136-100. That's right, without Kawhi Leonard on the floor for San Antonio after he injured his ankle in Game 1 by stepping on the foot of Zaza Pachulia, the Spurs lost Game 2 by 36. This game wasn't really competitive right from the start. The Warriors took a quick 14-point lead with 1:11 left in the first quarter, and then by the end of the first quarter it was 17, and from there the game basically got blown open by the Warriors. So let's go ahead and break down. This shouldn't be too long. Let's just break down those opening minutes and what happened for the Spurs and who played well and who did not play well for a lot of people. So normally there's three key playmakers. In this game there was only one, Jonathan Simmons. He was the only player who got any praise from Coach Pop. Coach Pop says that Simmons was like the only player who actually showed that he wanted to be there, that he actually thought they had it, that felt like they had a chance that they could beat the Warriors. He said the rest of the team just, it almost felt like the Kawhi injury was just too much for them mentally. They kind of caved. I mean, they just felt like they couldn't beat them. They were just beaten down themselves. Simmons was the only guy who shows up, puts up a career high in the playoffs and regular season, 22 points and 17 shots, shoots 47% for a guy who's usually not a jump shooter. That's a good percentage for him. Gets to the line 5 times, makes 4 free throws, drills 2 out of 3 three-pointers, and plays only 26 minutes. So he played an efficient game in just 26 minutes. He got spot minutes in the second half because the game was pretty much decided by the end of the first quarter. But he was at least aggressive. He at least continued to attack the defense. You know, it was tough for him to get out to take Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, all these defenders that the Warriors have. He still tried to take them off the dribble. If they went under screens, he wasn't afraid to take the mid-range jumper, even though that might be one of his weaknesses, the jump shot. He still took it. He took some three-pointers. And he just continued to stay resilient in the minutes that he was on the floor, constantly trying to attack Golden State. On the defensive end, he was getting gritty with Kevin Durant. He was getting into some of the Warriors players on offense and just continuing to be physical. And you could see that Pop really enjoyed that, seeing that at least one of his guys showed up for this game. So not only is Simmons raising his stock in Pop's, I guess, coaching evaluation of him as far as like maybe a future with the Spurs, but also other teams are watching this. You know, in a game where San Antonio's getting blown out, this is a guy who actually showed up to play. You know, and he's showing that with more responsibility, he can run the pick and roll. He can take really good. This is basically the best team in the playoffs, the Warriors defense. He can take them off the dribble and try to get to the rack or shoot some of those jumpers. He's definitely showing that even though the jump shot may not be his strength, he's going to take it if a defense is giving it to him. He made it a decent percentage in this game. So Simmons is one of the players who really rose for San Antonio. Moving on though to the players that did not show up, basically the other guy who didn't show up, which should be the guy who showed up since Kawhi was out, was LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's first read a stat line and then talk about his game. He finishes with 8 points on 11 shots. He only made 4 shots. Did not get to the free throw line. Had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers in 27 minutes. He only played 3 quarters of the game. After, let's go ahead and read what Coach Pop had to say about him. So after the game, Coach Pop usually, you know, I've been to every Spurs game here in San Antonio, cover the media for the media, and then on the road I usually watch every press conference. Coach Pop usually, whenever LaMarcus has a bad shooting night, he usually says something to the effect of like crediting his defense or his rebound or something like that. This is one of the rare nights where he didn't do that. He basically just talked about how Aldridge did not show up on the offensive end where they really needed him. This is quote Coach Pop, quote, "He's got a score for us. He can't be timid. He turned down shots tonight." So that was part of Pop's quote from Game 2 on LaMarcus's performance with just 8 points on 11 shots. One thing the Warriors did differently to start the game was they put Zaza Pachulia on him, who's a bigger defender, a little bit more stout than Draymond Green, and allows Draymond to play more free safety or play on Pau Gasol. And Zaza did a good job of keeping LaMarcus away from the paint, making him shoot those shots from 15 feet out. Draymond did guard him a few possessions, and also you could tell that it wasn't LaMarcus's night because in the second quarter he had David West guarding him, and he still had trouble scoring over him. He shot an air ball against West. He couldn't move him. And this is basically what it comes down to is like, this is from Pop, you know, warning, like, are you going to show up? You know, even with without Kawhi Leonard, this is a totally different player from the guy that was there against Houston in Game 6 and also against, you know, that was just basically with the Blazers for all those years of his career. He did not have that kind of performance. He looked, like Pop said, he looked timid. He'd get shots either at the free throw line, he'd wait till the defense collapsed in the post. He'd take too long to start posting. There was just, it wasn't a good game for him. And obviously, you know, this Game 3 is going to be huge for him on Saturday. They need him to show up whether Kawhi plays or not. And that's one game where, you know, everybody was on Aldridge, even his own coach was on him. So they got to try to, you know, it comes down to almost will more so than just trying to get him better shots and stuff like that. He's got to try to be more assertive himself, especially, you know, when he has David West. He should be able to score and move David West. Another guy who's usually a weapon for San Antonio with Kawhi out is Patty Mills. He had a rough night, 5 points, took six shots, below 50% shooter. Well, one assist and one turnover. So Patty, too, is another weapon that they really need to step up with Kawhi out, and he didn't do that, especially in the times when the game was still close. Let's go ahead and talk about their offense. They shoot 37% of Spurs from the floor. They basically, without Kawhi and without Tony Parker, they could get no dribble penetration outside of Simmons. And they, Patty Mills isn't a guy who tries to get into the lane and create for others. It's basically Simmons. DeJounte Murray can do it, but on spot, he's very inconsistent with it. And when he does get in there, his decisions aren't ready yet. He's still kind of young to make those types of decisions. So Spurs shoot 37% from the floor. The Warriors' defense gets some credit there. They were really good swarming, continue to close out in the lane, continue to play really, really good positional defense from not letting anybody get inside the lane. San Antonio shoots 8 of 23 from the three-point line. A lot of that comes from Simmons, who made two threes, and also Davis Bertans came off the bench, and those, it was basically garbage minutes. He makes three three-pointers, so the Spurs shoot 35% from three. They get to the line 21 times, make 18 shots. But again, a lot of that stuff comes when the game's already decided. Oh, it's already over, plus 20 points. They shoot 86%. Spurs collect 21 assists on 37 made shots for 57% assist rate. Again, that part of that goes to just the game already being out of hand. So a lot of that's the bench collecting points, empty points, what you call those. Here's the part that Pop talked about, and you can see it now in the series going forward. The Spurs had 19 turnovers for a second game consecutively. And this time they gave up 30 points. So in game one, the Spurs gave up 19 turnovers for 31 points to the Warriors off turnovers. Now in game two, they give them 19 turnovers for 30 points. And a lot of those 19 turnovers came with Kawhi out of the game after game one in that second half. So the Warriors right now are scoring 1.60 points per turnover that they make the Spurs turn the ball over. And that's something that, again, gets credit to the Warriors defense. They're swarming San Antonio. They're making any normal entry pass very difficult. Any kind of like side to side pass, they're snatching those up, getting hands in the way. And that's something where the Spurs, it is tough for them without Kawhi, but it's also, you know, they still got to execute as much as they can. So that's something that they definitely got to work on heading into game three Saturday. The bench, again, because it's a blowout, that's kind of empty points. So the Warriors outscored the Spurs bench 63-53. A lot of both teams basically got their bench guys a lot of playing time when the game's in the 40s. Looking at the six increments chart, the only area that really matters for the Spurs was the first quarter. That's when they got held to 8 points first to start the first 6 minutes of the ball game. Again, they couldn't get any kind of action going, couldn't get any decent shots. And then also the last 8 minutes of that first quarter. By the time they knew it, they were down 17. And from there, they were basically toast. It was over. Defensively, when they're not making shots to Spurs, that means that they cannot set up their half-court offense, I mean their half-court defense, which means that the Warriors can just do what they want. And they did just that in this game. The Warriors shot 56% from the floor. They made 18 threes on 37 shots, 49% from three. I told my brother that they're like the Rockets, except that they play defense. The Rockets can put up a lot of threes and make them, but on the other end, you still have a chance because they don't play as good defense. And this time, this team does. The Warriors are the best defense in the playoffs statistically. They also shot 18-19 free throws. One guy who was just, you know, had his way again with the Spurs' defense was Steph Curry. He put up 6 of 9 threes, and again, he's constantly targeting Pau Gasol, trying to get him a pick and roll action, trying to get him to chase him around the perimeter. That way, he can find guys to find them with assist or just hit a bunch of threes and get decent looks for himself and his other teammates. On the boards, the Spurs did better. They crashed 50-39, and they held the Warriors 7 off for 3 runs. But again, when the game's over 20 points, a lot of these stats don't really matter. Transition, the Warriors still got 20 points off the Spurs in transition. For the Warriors stars, Kevin Durant, 16 points on 10 shots. Didn't really need to have a huge game since it was already a blowout. Curry, as I mentioned, had 7 assists and 29 points. Very efficient for him. Here's the scary thing for San Antonio. As much as they're already down 2-0, but Klay Thompson offensively hasn't even shown up in the series. Klay's playing really good defense still. He's really trying to take away the lane, trying to take away from guys driving into the lane whenever he does any kind of switches. But he hasn't even gotten going offensively. He's already had two rough shooting games. Just I think he took 11 shots and only made two in the first game. And now he takes 10 shots, only has 11 points. So there's going to be a game, though, in the series, whether it goes it's a clean sweep in four or it goes all the way to like seven, where Klay's going to have a big game. He's going to get hot one night. And that's when the Spurs still have to be fortunate that they haven't even experienced that yet from Klay. And then Draymond does his all-around thing, 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 shots, and gathers 6 assists. So game 3 now is Saturday, May 20th. It's the series shifts to San Antonio. Again, it's at 8 p.m. All this really, the competitiveness of the series really comes down to Kawhi Leonard's ankle. Coach Pop before game 2 says that he's not even sure yet if Kawhi's going to be ready for game 3. They're listing him as questionable. He says Friday or Saturday they'll probably know. And that's really what comes down to. The Spurs team could get by Houston because Houston's not a great defensive team. You can kind of make them cave a little bit once you get a decent lead on them and you really take away their strengths. This Warriors team doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, and they will constantly keep playing defense. They like play defense. That's one of their big things. That's why they're the best defensive team in the playoffs. So just looking at some types of adjustments, I think the Spurs should try to make, whether Kawhi plays or not, is it might be time for Pau Gasol to go back to the bench. He was really good in the Houston series because he had someone he could match up with, like in Clint Capella for minutes, or Nene before he got hurt. But against this Warriors team, Curry's just too quick. He really breaks the entire Spurs defense once he can get Pau on a switch or get Pau chasing him around the arc. Or if Pau tries to drop back like he did against the Rockets, the Spurs would live with James Harden taking a pull-up three contested with the guy recovering. Against Steph Curry, that's like a free throw for him. And so it might be time for Pau to go to the bench, maybe only come in whenever somebody like JaVale McGee comes into the game, or just somewhere where Steph is not on the bench, is not on the floor, because Steph's the one guy that really targets him and really exposes him defensively. That could be an adjustment the Spurs make heading into game 3 Saturday. Whether that's Deadman starting or going smaller with LA at the 5, that'll be interesting to see which type of a change Coach Pop makes. But I do think Pau might have to go back to the bench for this series. Spurs need to try to get Aldridge going, whether that's, again, with Kawhi or not. He needs to just it's not really the team's part. It's also his part. He needs to be more assertive, get better position in the low block. When he does get it, don't hesitate. Just attack. And like Pop said, score for yourself first, and then everything else will open up. So he doesn't have to worry about double teams. Just try to score. Try to get to the free throw line. If that starts happening, then the defense starts collapsing on you. Then he can start becoming a facilitator. So I think that they got to get a better Aldridge for game 3. And then again, with this Golden State team, it comes down to keep it close. San Antonio has to keep the game close. Again, control pace. Part of controlling pace comes with making shots on offense. That's been tough for San Antonio. So if the Spurs can look at those three adjustments for game 3, they might have a chance. Again, from I picked the Warriors in 6. And this whole series, the competitiveness just really comes down to Kawhi's ankle. Can he be close to 100% as possible by Saturday? And if he can, the Spurs are in really good position. They have an all-star out there versus 4 other all-stars. But as you saw in game 1, that first half where they were up by 25, they're a very good team and they can really exploit Golden State's lack of size. But if Kawhi's not out there, then they got to embrace themselves to try to keep it close. For Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia.